Bibles, Proverbs chapter 8, good to have friends and visitors with us tonight. Let me tell you how we do this. We go verse by verse through the Bible. Sunday morning we're in the book of Luke, Sunday night we're in the book of 1 Corinthians, and then Wednesday night typically we have set aside to be the Old Testament. And so we've taken just a slight break at the end of Exodus, and so I've been going through the book of Proverbs here. We're going to go back to Exodus and then enter into Leviticus, and I'll bounce back and forth a little bit between Proverbs and those, just to help your stamina and dexterity, and maybe mine as well. So we'll have a good time. Proverbs chapter 8. I want you to understand this. When we read Proverbs chapter 8, I've listened to Proverbs chapter 8, read it, listened to it probably 30, 40 times now, and when you first read it, the first thought that you may have is, what's new? And there is much that'll be new in Proverbs 8, but that's the first response. The title of the message tonight is Obedience is Wisdom. That's really going to be the focus tonight as we just walk through these scriptures. Let's read Proverbs chapter 8. It's about two columns in my Bible. Hang in there. It's just good stuff. Proverbs 8 verse 1 says, "Doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? She standeth in the top of the high places, by the way in the places of the paths. She crieth at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in at the doors. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. O ye simple, understand wisdom, and ye fools, be ye of an understanding heart. Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things." Verse 7. "For my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing froward or perverse in them. They are all plain to him that understandeth, and right to them that find knowledge. Receive my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge of witty inventions. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogancy, and the evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate. Counsel is mine, and sound wisdom. I am understanding, I have strength." Verse 15. "By me kings reign, and princes decree justice. By me princes rule, and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. I love them that love me." This is again wisdom continuing to speak. "And those that seek me early shall find me. Riches and honor are with me, yea, durable riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I lead in the way of righteousness, in the midst of the paths of judgment, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way, before his works of old." Now, I want you to enjoy this section here. It's really talking about the creation and God and all he did in so many different aspects, and that wisdom was embedded in his creation. Let's just look at verse 22 again, and you'll see that for the next 10 verses. "The Lord possessed me," speaking of wisdom, "in the beginning of his way, before his works of old. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water. Before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world, when he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set a compass upon the face of the depth, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he gave to the sea his decree, that the water should not pass his commandment, when he appointed the foundations of the earth. Then I was by him, as one brought up with him, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in the habitable part of his earth, and my delights were with the sons of men." Verse 32. "Now therefore hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction, and be wise, and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. For whoso findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All that hate me love death. Again, just simple title of the message, obedience is wisdom. I want you to understand this. Life is so simple. God has made it so simple. You want, and I'm just going to talk a general truth, and Proverbs are general truths. I'm not even going to necessarily talk in this very brief moment here to saved or lost. But if you want your life to go well, listen to God. If lost people did the things the Bible talks about, their life would go better. They won't go to heaven unless they have personal faith in Jesus Christ. He's the only one that can remove our sins. So I'm not suggesting that following God's ways will give you eternal life. That's not what I'm suggesting at all. I'm just telling you, in the simplicity of life, when things aren't going well, look at your obedience. When things aren't going well, how well are you following God's ways? Almost without exception in this room, we all have excuses for why we don't obey in particular areas. I want you to just examine your heart tonight and say, what are those areas that you know God would have you to do that you have an excuse and you refuse? You and Todd. Did I really hit it? Did I? He's going to put it on behind my back eventually, right? He is. My grandson, that since I did that, that's a little story. It wasn't planned, obviously. My grandson, he had this tag. You know, they put him in the sleep sacks anymore, right? It's a potato, I guess. All babies are potatoes now. So they put him in sleep sacks, right? It's supposed to be safer. That's like crazy looking, but whatever. So, you know, he had this tag. So he's like, he was pulling on the tag all his... And so now when he's tired, he's like, it's like he's looking for the tag. That's all right. Don't touch the box. Don't touch the box. But I just tell you this to say, blessings come by obedience. You know, I'm working on my theory and about that grace, it's unmerited favor. It's the unmerited kindness of God. It's the undeserved kindness of God. So here's my theory, and it's okay if you disagree with me. My theory is this: God's grace is dispensed equally to everyone. Or, this is my hypothesis, he would be a respecter of persons. That unmerited favor. But there is great and broad difference that you'll see amongst people. And you say, what is that, Steve? I would suggest it's blessings. So some people might say, why does that family get so many blessings and they're just as bad as that family? I would suggest, and this is, you know, I've been going through this hypothesis, that you just need to go back a generation or two and the blessings of God will flow from your obedience to generations after you're dead. I've told you many times, I'm living for my grandkids. I'm living for my great-grandkids. I'm living for my great-great-grandkids that I'll never see, because I know this, the Bible tells me this, if I just trust the Lord, obey the Lord, He will bless. And you know this, when it all comes down to this, it's about people, right? Oh, we worry about the car we have, our house, and all these other things, but none of that really matters when it comes down to eternity. It's people. And so my hypothesis, if you'll follow me, would suggest the difference is blessings of God from obedience. And it's not that it's because of us. It's God's that good. Do we ever fully, perfectly obey? I don't think we do. I just tell you tonight, if you want the blessings of God, obey. And here's the issue that we have in the 21st century. In the 21st century, I see it all the time. Man, I've been coming to church Sunday morning, Sunday night for the last 3 weeks. Thring, gone. Oh, I'm so sorry. God's not a part one and part two series that you can finish and all the blessings are going to flow. How about this? How about you believe God and I believe God? And because you know what sin is? It finished there. Sin is an act of foolishness. Right? So I want to help you with this. It's What we have to do is, do we believe God? So I'm going to show you my theme verses tonight. And the theme verses from this passage are Proverbs 8, 32 to 35. It's really where I got the title, and I think everything flows from this. Look at this in verse 32. It says, "Now therefore hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways." And again, God says, blessed are they that keep my ways. Blessings will flow when we obey. And I know this. Our flesh is against God. Our flesh will never do what's right. We must subdue our flesh, and only as a believer you can do that, understand that. But our flesh never wants anything to do with God. The devil's the great deceiver, and if we immerse ourselves in this world, we will be deceived. But he says, blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me. And it's the hearing that ultimately is really taking hold. Watching daily at my gates, watching at the post of my doors. For whoso findeth me, findeth with him, findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. You want the favor of God? It's obedience. Now make sure of this, because if you are not saved, nothing else matters. You can do, and it'll never make you right with God. If you followed God's principles and you followed God's ways, your life will be better. It won't give you eternal life. But I'm speaking to Christians tonight. Oh, Christian, the problem with America is Christians. You hear me say that all the time. And what's the problem with Christians? Obedience. And the problem with Christians, almost without exception, including me, we have excuses why we don't obey. We have reasons why we don't obey. You just don't understand. It's not me that has to understand. God didn't give qualifiers. Can you find qualifiers that say, you don't need to listen to me, Damien, if you've got this issue? Right? Not everybody has a great spouse. Here's what I find. You got a bad spouse, you don't come to church. That's brilliant. Not. But that happens because you get discouraged. Got a bad spouse, you just start, you don't read the Bible. You don't talk about Jesus. That is not going to improve your marriage. I tell you this, love your spouse whether they're wonderful or not. But it is a reality with some. Bad marriage, right? And so what I'm telling you is, obey God. Good marriage, bad marriage, whatever the circumstances might be, I bring that one up. It isn't going to help you if you get all caught up in your circumstances and just wallow in the mud in your pity and sorrow. It's not going to help when you just don't listen to God. I tell myself this. When I get that phone call that I don't want one day and there's some tragedy that happens, will I continue to obey God, or will I get so derailed and so discouraged that I stop listening to God? That's the worst thing I could ever do. It's going to make my sorrow worse. But that's exactly what my flesh tells me to do. Run and hide, go to the corner, nobody cares, just stay there. What I need to do is listen to God. I tell you this, just remember this one simple truth. Blessings come through obedience. Obey. Now, I've got a bunch of verses here that I just want to show you the blessings of obedience. I could have spent the entire time, but I'm not going to. Let's walk through the scriptures. Isaiah 1:19 says, "If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land." And he's speaking to Israel, but there's just that simple truth. He's just saying this, just obey. Exodus 23:22, but if thou shalt indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy unto thine enemies and an adversary unto thine adversaries. God will take care of our enemies. What he's asking us to do is what? Obey. I think I've told you this many times. My father-in-law was a Baptist preacher, and we served under him, my wife and I did. And he would have an invitation, and it was like, it felt like years. I don't know, is my wife in here somewhere? Yeah, she's back there. It was like years that Trust and Obey was the invitation song, right? Page 409. I think I've told you this before, right? I always thought, the cleaner, 409, Trust and Obey, that will clean your life up. Nobody knows, do they not sell 409 anymore? They do, they still sell 409. So I always thought about it, Trust and Obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus. but to trust and obey. I you know, after you sing that song for the 17,000th invitation in a row, it wasn't that many times. It was, what a great invitation song. Simplifies it where it's really at. Will you trust and obey, or do you think you have a better way? And so, look at Proverbs 3. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord. Depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow. What is it? Is it marrow? Marrow. Marrow to thy bones. I say it wrong every time. Let's just walk through some more scriptures. Deuteronomy 28. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all the nations of the earth. Speaking to Israel, 1 Kings 2:3. And keep the charge of the Lord thy God to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes and his commandments and his judgments and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest and whithersoever thou turnest thyself. I'm telling you, parents, the greatest thing you can do is obey God. It's better than teaching your kids reading, writing, and arithmetic. I think you can do both. But if you have to make a choice, let your kids be illiterate and obey God. I think you can do both. But parents, your children need to see parents that believe what God says, and you do it, and when you mess up, that we're quick to apologize, right? And if we're quick to apologize, how often will we be apologizing? Damaris says Jacob should be doing it all the time. 10, 12, 15 times a day. And you miss some. Same with me, right? It is, I just tell you this, don't complicate Christianity. When you know what God wants you to do, you know what you should do? Do it. Every day, every hour, every minute. Now, this is important. We're going to look at some more verses. Don't do it grudgingly. This isn't about rules. Do it with delight. Do it because it honors Christ. But I tell you this. Every parent that's honest, when your kids don't do exactly what you want them to do, turn out exactly the way you want them to turn out, which is every single parent in here, right? Did your kids turn out exactly the way you want them to turn out? What would you like to have different about Damaris? I'm just kidding. Because there's several things I would throw in there too. But, you know, and so, you know what it comes down to? When we look at our lives, it's like lack of obedience. I could put it to that for me, right? And then when you look at your kids, you just see the abundance, the blessings of God are disproportionate to your obedience. That's how good God is. Right, that's just how good God is. And so I tell you this, it really is reflecting what all my problems come down to. What? Sin or disobedience, right? All my blessings will come down to obedience. It's not about rules. Do not get into a set of rules. You can become a Pharisee like that. It's not what it's about. Let's just look at a few more scriptures. I want you to see, he says, and whatsoever, this is some New Testament, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him. Look at this. Our prayers will be answered. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. God will bless us with answered prayer when we obey. Luke 11:28. But he said, yea, rather blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. John 13, after Jesus washed their feet, and he said, do you know what I do to you? And he said, if you know these things, happy are you if you know them. That's what it says. No, happy are you if you do them. Maybe there's a Bible study with me. I say it all the time. No, it's happier are you if you do them. Now, these are a couple things I want you to see. Just keys to obedience. And then I'm going to get into Proverbs 8. And you guys are like, what? This is my preface to the message. Keys to obedience, faith and love. Keys to obedience, faith and love. I just want to show you a few scriptures, right? 1 John 5:4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Let me tell you this. I'm convinced for every believer in this room, Mike, you know why we don't really obey? We don't believe it's that serious. We don't believe it's that big a deal. We're satisfied with something less than purity, than honor, right? We just don't believe it's that bad. How many people have you think told me the, it's not, you know, this, I had this guy sit across from me, he goes, I'm not as bad as you think I am. And I said, in fact, you're worse than I think you are. I'm worse than I think I am. You see, do we trust the Lord? Do we believe him? Jesus says this. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. You see, we don't do what he says because we really don't think. Is that better? Okay. I will, right here. Don't touch it. Worried about
is for Amy, because Amy's the loudest, and they said it picks up the less, right? And it's not an insult to Amy, she's really good. But you got this on there, Sean? Blue? Got blue on there? Let me do this testing. You got it? Is that blue? Hello? All right, you got it on there? All right, where was I at? You guys have to help me now. I have no idea where I was at. Says this, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Right? I'm talking about obedience. It's an issue of faith, and it's an issue of love. Look at John 15:10. I love this passage. Let me go back. He says this, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. You talk about one of the great blessings of obedience is that we abide in his love. Abiding in Christ is the key to life. And so when you see this circular thing, it's that we are to abide in Christ. We are to keep his commandments. Abiding in Christ helps us keep his commandments. Keeping his commandments helps us to abide in Christ. It's an amazing cycle that we have here. I tell you, as we walk through Proverbs tonight, I hope you can't forget the singular thing I want you to leave tonight. If you want the blessings of God, it's obedience. God is not a respecter of persons, but he's a rewarder of obedience. And I will tell you, those that have the greatest lives, those that are the most blessed, are the most obedient. And maybe they had, you know, people from their past, their blessings are still coming as a tidal wave into their life, but blessings come through obedience. Never forget that. It's not about rules. It's about Christ, and he tells us that. Now let's look at Proverbs chapter 8. Look at this. Wisdom, again, wisdom in Proverbs is given a persona. It's given a feminine persona as a woman. And wisdom is begging for us to listen. Just look at this. Look at verse 1. Doth not wisdom cry and understanding put forth her voice? She standeth in the top of high places by the way in the places of the past. If you'll allow, if you'll allow me to say this, God is begging us to listen to him. God is begging us and saying, oh, I've created you. Would you only listen to me? What our problem is we refuse. We refuse to listen. We refuse to listen. I want you to look at verse 6. Some things about wisdom. Wisdom is excellent things. Remember this. Hear, for I speak of excellent things. He says he speaks of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. The general thought with the broad population at large, and I really believe it can even be in churches, is that the way of God is boring. The way of God is a dud. The way of God isn't nearly as exciting as you name it. You fill in the blank. I will tell you, we've been fooled. Wisdom, the way of God, the way of obedience is where it's at. It's excellent things. Do we truly believe that God has laid out in the Scriptures the way to have an excellent life? Motive shouldn't be the excellent life. Our motive should be Christ. But the problem, would you agree? Would you agree, Damien, would you agree the problem with Christians is obedience? We just obey where we want to obey. Where I don't want to obey, I'm not going to obey. Where is that in your life? Where have you said, no, you know what? That's just your opinion. Well, talk to me. Let's study the Scriptures. But we love the world way too much. Second thing I want you to see is wisdom is truth. Look at verse 7. For my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. So not only is it truth, but this third thing, it will help our speech. It will help our speech. It is an amazing thing how people cannot speak today without vulgar, just cursing and swearing and... Look, and it's been that way for a long time, but it's the women now too, right? It's just crazy. Years ago, when I was going to college and I was working a construction job, believe it or not, and so I was, some of you that know my construction prowess or complete lack of it, I managed millwrights, iron workers, laborers, whole construction. God was with me. Sometimes he wasn't. I would have shipments of the complete wrong thing. He never said that. It wasn't good. But so these guys, eventually they knew I was a Christian. And they would walk in. And they'd be like, Steve. And they would try not to cuss. I need. You think I'm kidding. I'm exaggerating a little bit. These guys didn't know how to speak without cursing. I mean, I love these guys. You know, I'd never ask them, I said, hey, would you stop? I never said stop cussing around me. They knew enough about God, and they tried. I appreciate that, but it was kind of funny watching these guys try to communicate. Let me just help you with this. God's word, God's ways, look, we're not here to beat people up. I'm in Bible studies and point, here's a cuss word. And I don't say a thing. And they're like, I am so sorry. And I'm like, hey, you know what? I'm working on it. And I said, we're in the right place. We're in the Word of God. The Word of God will flush that out of you. The Word of God will replace that and teach you how to speak. That's true. So I promise you, I'm not thinking of anybody in this room. I'm so not worried about it. I will just tell you, not only will wisdom clean up your speech, it'll clean up your life, it'll clean up everything, but it does take time. If you want the 30-minute sitcom to be solved that fast, you won't stay in there. But it's, are you convinced that God's ways are best? We're about to have a flood here in the next year or two of young people graduating from high school. Watching you, Alex, Alberto, Rafa, Angel, watching you. Well, I see you in 3 years. By God's grace. I will tell you, you go to college, and I don't have a problem with that, they're going to tell you we're morons. Who are you going to believe? You're going to be tested. You're going to be tried. They're going to try to chew you up and spit you out. You're going to find out, who do you really believe? You hang in there. We'll love you. We'll help you. And I think, by God's grace, you've seen, has the Bible ever been wrong? That's what I love. The longer you're a Christian, you'll at least see. Have I ever been wrong? You've been talking to my wife. I have. I'm not here to proclaim my inerrancy. I'm here to proclaim the inerrant word of God. All right? I want you to understand that. The devil wants to just chew you up and spit you out. Folks, we got to be in prayer for these young people as the world's going to try to destroy them. We need to pray for them. We need to help them. We need to love them. We need to reach out to them. If we don't see them, we need to be knocking at their door in love with an arm that says, get in the car. The Bible will help your speech. It will help your life. Just look at verses 7 through 9, and then I want to take it to verse 13. Look at this. He says, for my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. This is wisdom. There is nothing froward. Remember what froward is? Away from God. There's nothing froward or perverse in them. They are all plain to him that understandeth, and right to them that find knowledge. Then drop down to verse 13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy, and the evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate. It is this. You want to get a cheap laugh? Then say something that the world will think is funny. Look, those clips will show up on YouTube or social media. Delete them. I found out, you know, if you cult, they try to, I don't like it, cult, I delete it. And then there's another thing that says, I never want to see anything like this again. Part of it says, is that then one longer say anymore? But it is, I'll tell you this, if you're watching things of the world, you know what the world thinks humor is? Everything that wisdom is not. It's perverse, it's froward, it's against God, and you can be super popular if you want to speak the way of the world. But I will tell you this, you won't receive the blessings of God. You'll wonder, who do you want to be on your side? The world? Then speak perverse. Speak froward. Speak with a dirty tongue. They'll be your friend. Is that going to be the blessing that you want? Or do you want the blessings of God? Look, I want the blessings of God. I want the blessings of God. The Bible says wisdom is better than money. Look at verses 10 through 12. Receive my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. It's better than money, and what does it say? It's better than anything. Wisdom is better than anything. Knowing the ways of God are better than anything. Look, if you will, look at verse 12. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge of witty inventions. Look, if you will, to verse 18, 19. He's talking about the same thing. Riches and honor are with me, yea, durable riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. One of the most foolish stories in the Bible is Achan. Remember the story of Achan? They go in, and he takes... it was from Jericho. Took it from Jericho, right? Didn't he steal it from Jericho? The wedge of gold and the Babylonian garment, you know. And you've heard me say this before, but it's been a while. Where in the world was he going to spend the gold? At the store down the desert. Just think about stupid. He stole gold that he could never spend. And then the Babylonian garment. Where was he going to wear it? Just with his wife in the tent. Hey, babe, what do you think? I mean, you think about foolishness. Look, I'm telling you this. It's crazy. What will you pursue? I'm telling you, I've told people this. I told them this when I went to work, when I used to work in the secular world. I said, I went to college to make the most amount of money. I said, if you follow me too much, you won't earn anything. The guy told me, he said, we do 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And I said, if you follow that ownership too much, you won't earn anything. I told him, I said, if that long lost aunt leaves me millions, you've been so good to me, I'll give you 2 weeks. Right? And it's just, you know, so, but I'll tell you this. The first day I started working at Procter & Gamble, they were all talking about retirement. Millions. Well, you know what Johnny has? His retirement. You know, I mean, just a young guy, but how much? I did. I was curious. Are you kidding me? It's called gold hammers. Get trapped. I don't have a problem with this. If you have to work, you might as well maximize your income. Okay? I'm telling you, if you have to work, you can maximize your income. But there comes a point where you have to sell your soul. You should never sell your soul. You should stop. You can say, I'm done. No more promotions. And if that means you have to go get another job, go get another job. So I'm telling you, you pick. Generally, they're going to require 40, 50 hours of you a week. Right? I'm just telling you, there's a point where they're going to require way more than that. I would tell you, I don't have an issue. I didn't say it's wrong for you to push. You know, I mean, you don't have to do it this way, but. You know, when they gave me these sheets, you know, I think I've told somebody this, say job enrichment and job enlargement, and they said, hey, we want to know what makes you tick. What, how can we satisfy you, right? I've grown this a long time. I got a sharpie, and I turned it in. You know what I made? I made dollar signs. And they said, Steve, they said, this is unacceptable. And I said, keep it in my file, because all that other gobbledygook on that page isn't why I'm here. I said, you love me? Show me the money. I wasn't about money. You follow my point? I'm telling you this. I know you got to pay the bills. Don't make your life about money. You got to work. Maximize it. Minimize it. I love being sad. So I would struggle. I would struggle. So I look back at April. She's a nurse, right? So I got two girls that are nurses. I have designed systems for them how to maximize the bonus. I said, hey, girls, come over here. I said, here's the shifts you're going to work. And because I said, if you're going to work, you might as well, you know, it's just crazy. There was a time it was just nuts. And to get nuts at times, I was just, I could never have been an hourly person. You know why? Because you could always use. Could you use another 1,000? Could you use another 1,000? 500? Could you use another 1,000? Okay, I need to borrow some money. No. So, you know, I love this. There is a point where no. Right? But the average person I would ask, you know, absolutely. All I'm telling you is don't make your life about money. It's okay to try to maximize your income, but never at the expense of serving, honoring Christ. You follow me? And so what we're going to see in wisdom that might link into that, right, is this. It's equated to the fear of the Lord, and I'm going to, there's another point just right after this. It's equated to the fear of the Lord, if you will, look at verse 13. The fear of the Lord is wisdom. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, to hate pride and arrogancy, and the evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate. I've been having a good time with Bible studies. So I'm going to ask you guys this question. I don't think I've ever asked this question yet. So who am I going to pick on tonight? Who am I going to pick on tonight? Clay. Can a lost person do good?
No.
Can a saved person do good? There's none that doeth good, no, not one. Can a lost person do good?
No.
Can a saved person do good?
No. I still.
So here's my point. When the fear of the Lord is to hate pride and arrogancy, I'm not in disagreement. I probably said something from the pulpit that's confusion. I can do good, but it's not because of Christ. You understand this? There's not one thing that happens because Steve was good. Can God work good through a lost person? Yes. I want you to understand this. If you see good from a lost person, who do you know it's from? I am. Yeah. No, this guy here. Who is that guy right there?
God.
Right. And this guy right behind you. No, if a saved person does good, it's from God. See, this is super important. You know, all these things about obedience. My ability to obey is from God. When I obey, I better not get arrogant. When I obey, I better not be full of steam. When I obey, it should all go back to the glory of God. My ability to do good is not Steve, it's God in me. You understand that? It's so important for us to understand these simple truths of the Bible. And so, I know we agree, but yes. And should more good come from a Christian? Yes, because Christ is in me, the Holy Spirit lives in me, but is it of me? It's not. Do I want to think it's of me? I do. Especially with my wife. I'm like, did you notice what God did? Do you think I ever say that last part? I don't. Guys, there's just this balance. When we talk about obedience, it's not you being superwoman or superman. It's about us submitting to God and letting Him work through us. And obedience comes out of just submission, faith, love, Christ. Does it make sense? It's not complicated, but here's what I do love. As a believer, God's given me all I need to obey. He equates wisdom with fear of the Lord. It's hating. Quickly, let me go through this. It includes godly counsel. Now, this is super important. Look at verse 14. Counsel is mine. This is talking about wisdom. And sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. And so, you know, let's just say you don't agree with everything I've said tonight, or I've confused you tonight. Talk to other believers. Say, what in the world is he talking about? Money. You know, get wisdom. Intended to do this on your own. And I'm not your only counselor. You're like, you have one main counselor, right? I do love this. I heard this the other day. It's like, do you know why God created Adam before Eve? Terrible. He didn't want any. All right, bad joke. All right. Now, get godly counsel. Get godly. Okay. Next Wednesday, we're going to have a men's meeting. But just get godly counsel, right? We want to study the Bible. Get godly counsel. Hey, brother. Hey, sister. What do you think? Look at this. Wisdom is rewarded, and it's not difficult to find. Look at verse 17. I love them that love me. Wisdom embraces those that love wisdom. And those that seek me early shall find me. It's not this difficult thing. Look down at verse 20 and 21. I lead in the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of judgment, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures. I want you to understand this. The treasures of life are the blessings of God. It's not necessarily the materialism, the tangibles. It's the treasures of God. What's the greatest treasure? It's love. For the most part, agape sacrificial love does cost us a lot. But the best thing in life isn't for sale. You can't buy love. Love is a gift from God. Just remember that. Wisdom is rewarded. Wisdom is not difficult to find. Then I'll just show you this. I talked this earlier. I just want to review a few things. Wisdom is the foundation of creation. I want you just to look at this. There's just a few things that I just had fun with. Look at verse 27. Let's just jump to that, and then I'm going to talk a few things after that. When he, God, prepared the heavens, I was there. Wisdom was there, he said. When he set a compass upon the face of the depth. So fascinating. I did a little compass research this past week. And compass, you know, for some of you scientific people, it's just driven by the magnetic poles of the Earth, of the North and South Pole. And so they make a compass so that it's very sensitive to that magnetic draw. He didn't bless me with that because it's not going to go, well, you know, you go south and then you'll go northwest and then you'll go, like, you know, before they had like GPS, remember triptychs, remember triptychs, useless, you know, you get on the wrong page, you're hosed. And so nothing helped me, just directionally challenged. I always remember this, and this is true. They said that moss grows on the north side of the tree. Is that right? Yeah. I've ever lost in the woods. I'd be like, there we go, there it was. I don't know where to put more than nothing, but I'd be like, there it was. Let's go. But God created the magnetic poles of the earth in his wisdom. Just look at verse 28. When he established the clouds above, rain. It's not random. Rain's created by God. Clouds are created by God. Verse 28, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep. Remember, the fountains of the deep, they broke up in the waters from the flood. A deluge. Look at verse 29. When he gave to the sea his decree. Hello, ocean! I'm telling you that the water should not pass his commandment. Here's what the Bible says. Do you know why the ocean stops where it does? God told it to. He said, hey, Pacific. He said, stop right there. It's amazing, right? And he created the moon. The high tide and the low tides are by the moon. That's God. Not some random chance. Well, I can't believe that. The moon affects our tides. That was lucky. That's how people talk. And then I want you to look at this, verse 29. When he gave to the sea his decree that the water should not pass his commandments, when he appointed the foundations of the earth. Zach knows this, any construction guy knows this, Stephen knows this, others. It's foundation is the most critical part of the building. Get the foundation right, then everything else is going to be much easier. Get the foundation wrong, it all comes. There's foundations of the earth. God established the foundations of the earth. He established human wisdom. That's why concept of evolution is so insulting to suggest that everything was built by random chance, not the wisdom of God. You see the assault of God with evolution. It's not just some scientific misunderstanding or scientific mistake. It's an attack on the wisdom and the brilliance of God. We ought not to be part of it. And then the final thing I want you to see, and then I'm done, is verse 36. Rejecting God's ways results in death. Look at this, verse 36. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All that hate me love death. He didn't say all that hate me are conscious about their love for death. He didn't say all that hate me are aware that they love death. The reality is, when we choose to sin, what do we do? Killing ourselves. If you want to die faster, sin more. You want to die faster? Be foolish. You want to die faster? Don't listen to God. And some of you will go out and sin. Me, us, will go out and sin, and we don't get zapped in 5 seconds after we sin, and we go, man, that preacher, he doesn't know what he's talking about. You're not deceived. God is not mocked. What's going to make us so effectual also? Plant seed. It takes season. And sometimes seasons. First of all, God, the longest nut tree that takes to bear fruit for the first time, 19 years. You plant that tree, it does not bear nuts. It does not bear fruit for 19 years. Some sin you plant, and it won't raise its ugly head. To just tell you this, I beg you, you help me. This message is just as important.